peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Who is Jesus talking to in our gospel lesson this morning? Because of the fact that it is an isolated text that we get out of context, it is kind of hard for us to know who Jesus is actually talking to. Even the little note that the compilers of our gospel book put in there of saying, Jesus said, doesn't really indicate to whom Jesus is actually speaking. But our text is crying out for an answer to this question. It wants to know who the audience is that Jesus is actually speaking to. Because if we don't know who that audience is, inevitably what we end up doing is just assuming that he is speaking solely and directly to us. But the truth is that Jesus is not speaking first and only to us here in this text. He's actually speaking to a very specific audience, and once we see who that audience is, it'll allow the gospel lesson to come into full bloom. So to return to my question, who's Jesus talking to? Well, the answer to that question is the Pharisees, one of the leading religious groups of the day, who were largely a lay-led movement. That means they were largely made up of the people in the pews, not the clergy themselves, although there were some attached to that as well. But this lay-led movement of the Pharisees were seeking to get the Israelite people to adhere to a strict observance of the law of Moses. They were determined to get the people of Israel to be obedient to the law in the hope that through that obedience, God would renew and restore Israel. So the basic idea was this: be obedient to God, follow God's law, and God will bless Israel by setting her free from her Roman occupiers and by making her the nation above all nations. That was the goal that the Pharisees had. Get everybody to do what God says, to do it all the way, and God will bless Israel by allowing Israel to have her independence again and become the nation above nations. The problem, though, is that the Pharisees see Jesus as subverting their, and by their reckoning, God's program. And the way that he is doing this specifically is that he is doing works of healing on the Sabbath day when nobody should be doing any work. Jesus is, in their mind, violating the Sabbath law, and he's disrupting the program to get everybody on board to be obedient to this law so that God can fix Israel's state. Which goes to the situation that occurs right before our gospel lesson opens and provides the context in which we actually need to hear this morning's gospel lesson. Right before our gospel lesson opens today, Jesus heals a man with congenital blindness. Now, we actually heard this gospel lesson several weeks ago at the end of Lent. Jesus heals a man who is born blind, and instantly the Pharisees are up in arms questioning this man and his parents about what happened. And in the course of their conversation with this blind man, the Pharisees had made the accusation that Jesus was a sinner because Jesus had done work on the Sabbath. And the work that he had done was made up both of making the mud that he applied to the man's eyes and in bringing healing to the man as well. So while the whole process that shakes out after that healing and that initial confrontation leads to the blind man coming to faith in Jesus, the Pharisees, we hear, become more and more hardened against him, which leads Jesus to say these words: I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. This, of course, draws the ire of the Pharisees, who then ask Jesus, surely we are not blind, are we? To which Jesus responds, if you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains. Now this is the exact moment where our gospel lesson picks up today. And we've got to hear it connected to that. Even our Bibles, our common English Bibles, don't help us, because this marks the beginning of chapter 10, verse 1, which makes our brains think, oh, this is a new section that's starting here. But remember, in the original Greek manuscripts of the New Testament, there are no chapter and verse numbers. And the idea is that what we have here is part of the story of the hearing of the blind man. And we should not read this as a separate event. So this is where it picks up. No sooner has Jesus announced the retention of their sins when he launches into one of his authoritative statements. Very truly, I tell you. That's an indication that Jesus is speaking authoritatively. He is speaking as God here when he says that, or something like that. Often it's truly, truly, I say to you. But the point is that he is speaking authoritatively. So he says these words, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit." Now when we know that the crowd he's speaking to is the Pharisees here, we begin to see what he's actually saying. To enter the sheepfold, to attempt to enter the sheepfold. And by that, we need to hear the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus is talking about. To attempt to enter the sheepfold, the kingdom of God, not by the gate, that is, by the way that God has provided for entrance into that kingdom, but to seek to enter it by another way, that is, by a way that one chooses for oneself, by a way that one comes up with as an idea for how one gets into that sheepfold, makes one a thief and a liar. Let me be more specific. To enter the kingdom of God, not through faith in Jesus, not through trusting Jesus, but through the works of the law, that is, through the religious deeds or the good works or whatever you want to call them, makes you a thief and a bandit. That's Jesus' point. That's what the Pharisees are doing, and that's what everyone who thinks that they can earn or merit their way into God's kingdom ends up doing as well. They become a thief and a bandit by trying to break into God's kingdom in a way that God has not called them to come into the kingdom. That's when Jesus makes clear how things work in God's kingdom. In God's kingdom, it's the shepherd and the shepherd alone who enters by the gate, who calls his own sheep by name, and who leads them out. And he goes on to say that he, the shepherd, goes ahead of his sheep, and they follow his voice, they know and recognize his voice, and follow it, but they run from the voice of strangers. They run from voices that don't sound like the voice of their shepherd, voices that say other things to them that don't sound like him. The point that Jesus is making in context is this. By trying to force their way into God's kingdom by their works of the law, the Pharisees are making themselves thieves and bandits, whereas the sinners, the broken people, the people who desperately know their need before God, who know that they don't have their proverbial stuff all together, who know that their lives are more of a wreck than they are any kind of triumphal statement, the kind of people that the congenitally blind man represents here in the story, these folks hear the voice of the true shepherd and they follow him out into the kingdom. That's how things work in God's economy. As St. Paul will later drive home in the rest of the New Testament, entrance into God's kingdom is by grace, that is, by the gift of God, through faith, that is, through trusting in Jesus, through trusting in God's promises spoken through Jesus, and not by works of the law. But John tells us that they really couldn't grasp what Jesus was saying, so he comes at it again from a slightly different direction. "Very truly I tell you," once again, speaking authoritatively, "I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Changing up this picture ever so slightly, Jesus' point is simply this. He is the way into God's kingdom. He is the gate. He is the way, the entrance into God's kingdom. everyone who comes before him is a thief and a bandit, he says. Now, it's important that we hear that properly. Everyone who comes before him is not a time statement, but a position statement. A time statement makes us think that Jesus is talking about the prophets and Solomon and David and Abraham. That is, all those who came before him in the Old Testament times were thieves and bandits. There's a problem with that. They weren't thieves and bandits. They were doing God's work. They were actually spreading the gospel, the good news, through their words and their deeds, right? So they are not thieves and bandits. So what Jesus is talking about is all who come before him, that is, all who get in front of him, all who seek to step in front of Jesus and say, no, I've got a way into that kingdom. I know how I will get myself into that kingdom, and it will be by what I do, by how I act, by how I live. That will get me in, not you, Jesus. You're not the gate. I will provide a gate. That's what it is to come before Jesus. So when Jesus says that, that's what he's referencing. All who would dare to step in front of him and say that they know better, that they can get themselves in by their own doing, are thieves and bandits. And the funny thing is here that thieves and bandits will do whatever they can to encourage other people to follow their lead. This is the history of the Christian church, sadly, that thieves and bandits all the time say, no, 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 Jesus really didn't know what he was talking about. We've got a better way for you. And that way is a whole bunch of rules to follow, a whole bunch of things for you to do. And if you just get on with this program and do these things, then you'll find your entrance into God's kingdom. But Jesus says that those who belong to him don't listen to their voice. Why? Because they know that he alone is the gate. They know that he alone is the way into the kingdom of God. They know his voice. They recognize his voice. And so they listen to him. And the promise that he lays down here is that whoever enters by him will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. Thieves, the works righteous crowd we might call them, only steal and kill and destroy. And that is said in a spiritual manner. To advocate that someone accomplish their own salvation, obtain eternal life for themselves, obtain the forgiveness of sins for themselves, is to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus alone gives life and salvation, and the life that he gives is a free gift, and it is abundant life. That's what Jesus himself says. It's abundant life. It's a rich life. It's a life overflowing with grace. This, my friends, is the word for us now as well. Entrance into God's kingdom, into his sheepfold, does not take place by my being a good person, or by my doing good deeds, or by my racking up religious brownie points with God in some way. No, entrance into God's kingdom is only through the God-man, who is both the shepherd and the gate. In other words, entrance into God's kingdom comes by Christ alone, the one who freely and abundantly and graciously pours out life and salvation through the forgiveness of sins. And that same Jesus is here this morning in word and sacrament to give that life and salvation to us by his promises spoken to us. That's what Jesus does every Sunday. He shows up here so that he might talk to us and give us his promises that we might have life and have that life in abundance to the full. If our salvation and our place in God's kingdom was based on our works, we'd all be in big trouble. After all, Jesus' summary of the law is that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. How you doing with all that? Right? If that was the means by which we entered the kingdom, if that was the way that we got in, was by being obedient to that law, we're all doomed. We've all got big trouble ahead of us. But thanks be to God that our salvation and our place in God's kingdom is not based on that. Our salvation and our place in God's kingdom is based on a promise trusted in faith. It's based on a promise spoken by the one who is the shepherd and the gate. And that promise that he gives us is this: by my cross and resurrection, you are forgiven and you are put right with God. That's the voice of Jesus. That's the voice of forgiveness. If any other voice comes along telling you you've got to do something, you've got to subscribe to some sort of program, some sort of religious regiment in order to get yourself into God's kingdom, to merit it, to earn it, if someone tries to tell you that you've got to just pray more, or just pray in this one particular way, or you've just got to read your Bible more, or do anything like that, however good those things are, and please understand me, reading your Bible and praying are very good things to do. I encourage it. But if anyone tells you that your salvation is linked to your doing of these things, that is the voice of a thief, and that is a voice of a bandit coming to steal you away. The voice of Jesus says that all is forgiven and you are right because he has done all things necessary for your salvation, and he has accomplished it, and he gives it to you freely as a gift. He gives you salvation. He gives you new life. He gives you justification. He gives you sanctification. He gives you the Holy Spirit. He gives you adoption as his children. He gives you membership in his kingdom. And on that list could go. And he gives it all to you as a free gift of his love, his grace, and his mercy. And that means that there is now nothing for you to earn, that there is now nothing that you have to do. We can talk about what do you want to do now, and my guess is that you want to love God and love your neighbors, because that's a normal response when you've had such grace poured out on you. But that's a matter for another day. There is nothing you have to do. It's all about what you want to do now. It's all been done for you, and it's been given to you by God's promise in Jesus Christ. So take a nice big sigh of relief and walk in faith with Jesus, who is your good shepherd. Amen.